you know what? It's nice to have a gift like that from God. Unfortunately, some of us musicians have been shorted in that category. How many hours practice have you put in your life? How much time did you spend studying music, you think?
A lot of lonely Friday.
Before we get started today, we have a fairly long prayer list. Gladys Wilkening, Joyce Koenig's mom, cancer's come up again. Trevor Rollo, the young man I was going to have speak, is still dealing with a brain tumor. Chris Peterson Olden, Butch and Sandy Peterson's daughter, dealing with colon cancer. Emily Norris, dealing with cancer. Kathy Watson, she's doing better. She's still going through treatments. Linda Cassens, cancer. Sharon Koenig, getting better from her cancer treatment. Leland and Mary Knapp, you haven't seen them in a while. They're both struggling with health issues. Mary evidently has gone blind in one eye, and Leland's going to need a back surgery. And Stan Rutkowski is not doing that well and could certainly be lifted up. And as a matter of fact, Stan sent us this card. You know, we had a special offering for Stan, and he wanted to be here so bad, but due to his injuries and just, it's just hard for him to get out. So he sent me this, and I promised him I'd read this to you. And it says, God has blessed me with a church that is full of His love and truly walks in that love with Him daily. Thank all of you for your cards, your prayers, support, and gifts you all have given me over all the years. Even though I am not able to be there today, I am with you in spirit. And you all have all my thoughts and prayers and love. God truly loves and keeps all of you in every way. Remember, I'm praying for all of you and will be there as soon as possible. And he thanks us so much for our generous gift. So all these people in need of prayer. Prayer is powerful. And that's the tool that God's given all of us to use. And also, I want to mention today that Jackie is going to be having surgery for cancer soon. So we want to lift her up. She's actually going through something very similar than Sharon did. She's going to have a little spot removed up on the scalp. But she fills me in that she is going to shave her head, so... She invites all of us to shave our heads, and you know,
get
right. So,
hey, Kent, I want to mention
sure.
to you, just in addition to some of the people that you have.
Yes, please.
Well, in our prayer box, there's been so many suffering with this flu that's going around. Sherry Burmester, I see, is not here this morning, and she's going on like about the eighth week. So,
oh, wow.
Keep all of those in your prayers as well. Thank you.
Let's go ahead. Let's have a little prayer before we get started here. Father, we come here today. I come here before you very humbly as a broken servant that wishes to deliver your message, but also invites your Holy Spirit into every heart here. All the needs, all these people we've mentioned have such dire needs of your love and your touch. We ask you to open our hearts so that we can have a better understanding and that we can be, those of us that are here, can be using the tool you gave us, which is the Holy Spirit, to lift these people. We never know when any of us is going to end up on the prayer list. And Father, we need your help because with all the things that we've learned in this world, all our discoveries and all the technology we have, still we need your help in these situations. We need your help to lift us and to lift our spirits. And give the doctors their knowledge and wisdom so they know exactly how to treat some of these conditions that we're dealing with. Father, we ask you to be with all the families who have these loved ones who are suffering. That you would give them and grant them your peace, grant them health, and grant them to allow them to blossom again that your peace and love will just lift them up, and carry them forth to a better day. In Jesus' name we pray. It's a brand new year, and I don't know if you're like me, but I know Bonnie and I spent quite a bit of time talking. What are we going to do this year? You know, we talk about our work lives, we talk about our private lives, and it's just time of renewal where we can all come together and ask the question, what do we want to do? Anybody got any big plans this year or things they want to share about not necessarily a resolution, but it seems like when you come to a new year, it's like opening a new book. You're excited. There's a lot of potential that can happen this year. A lot of things going on. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Don't.
You're going to what?
Read the
Bible. Hey, my messages have been working. I've been on that. I've been getting a lot of texts and calls. What kind of Bible should I get? So that's encouraging to me. That's good. I appreciate that. And that's the perfect entry into my sermon.
My son got me a Bible for Christmas. A very nice Bible.
What? So Stan got you a Bible. Awesome. You know, I've been on this quite a while in my blogs and in my messages I challenge everybody to start reading the Bible. And some of you do. But my polling, being at, I go to nursing home, I call them nurse, care facilities every week, and just polling people who are Christians, not that many people read the Bible. Not that many. And if you're going to participate in Christianity, it's a good idea. And I'm going to try to explain some of that a little bit more today. One of the things that I do at the beginning of every year is I love to ask myself questions. I like to challenge myself with questions. And the thing about questions is they're very important because questions are great as long as you pursue answers and then do something with the answer. You can have a ton of questions and they can remain a question. But when a question gets in your mind, in your soul, and you want to find an answer to it, then is when you can start making progress. You start seeking and delving in, how can I answer this question? How can I sit on some boards, and when you're on most nonprofit boards, the big question is, how are we going to raise more money? And so it depends on how serious you are in participating in whatever question it is, but my question is, what is the ultimate goal of reading the Bible? I've asked myself that so I could answer that for people, because people say, well, okay, I'll read the Bible, but, you know, then what? What, you know, what's going to happen? And I had to think about that for a while. What is the ultimate goal of reading the Bible? And I think the best answer I came up with, I'm not saying it's the answer for you, but the main reason for getting involved in reading the Bible is for transformation. That's what it is for me. And it's to transform your inner spirit, your inner man, which that's what I call your perfect self inside, that which spirit that God gave you, to awaken it and strengthen it so that the inner man, the God-given spirit within us, can be empowered to handle this part of us, which is where all sin comes from. I mean, that's the bottom line, is throughout your life, when you become a Christian, nowhere in here does it say it's going to be easy, and all of you have been in church a lot of years of your life, you know that. We get no exemption from problems. We don't. Matter, we have as many problems as anybody, but the object of using this book is to strengthen the spirit so that when we face these problems, we can come up with better solutions than what this body will come up with. I mentioned a long time ago, when I went through a divorce and I had two kids and one was severely handicapped, and I was a Bible reader, but I still found myself answering my problems in very poor ways. One was drinking a lot. And it was not a good solution. I laugh and I tell people, it worked a little while. It'll temporarily take away some of your pain, your loneliness. It's true. However, long term, it's a real bad solution because God always has your best interest in mind. And I think what has happened now that I spend so much time reading the Bible is that this book was written specifically to Kent City and to Matt and to Lori and to Mike. And until you get involved in really reading it and thinking about it and allowing God to, what I call, plant those seeds in your heart and blossom, the effect of it will never work until you start reading the Bible. And people ask, well, will it change my life? And the answer to that is yes, if you apply what the knowledge is. You know, most of us here, we've spent a lot of years in school. And studying something can give you knowledge. But it's really not until you apply the knowledge that it changes anything. You can go to school for a lot of years and become a dentist. My son's a dentist. And he spent, it's a lot of study. It's like anything. You become an engineer. Darlene's an architect. It's a whole bunch of study. And you can learn and go through the classes. And you can read the textbooks and have that knowledge. But if you come out with a dental degree and then you never practice dentistry, you know all about dentistry, but you're not an effective dentist. You're not helping anyone with their toothache or their tooth problems. You have to participate within your discipline and actually reach out and begin doing things to make dentistry worthwhile. Otherwise, you spend all this time in school, you've got the head knowledge, but you are not applying the knowledge, and I see that happen in Christianity. Now, the thing about Christianity is it's a little bit different because unlike every other subject we can learn about on the face of the earth, and much of it has to do with science, that's another thing I'll bring up, is because of our day and age of all this information that we're swamped with, I've noticed people who have a lot of advanced training, medical training, biology training, science type training, they have a hard time with this book because science to them answers more questions than this book does. But there's something you have to understand is that science deals with the physical world. It explains things in the physical world. And it does a real good job of it. We discover new things all the time. This book is about the spiritual world. It's all about the inner man. It's not, and what I've learned is it's not in conflict. As a matter of fact, the more I study this, and I love science, I love to read about science, the closer I see them getting together. The crazy thing is if you believe in God, God invented science. He knows all about all the things in the physical world, but he's also the expert on the spiritual world. So that's the big difference. So what I did is I did a quick little, I call it the Reader's Digest. How do I give you very basic steps, and with all the problems you may be facing or whatever, what are some really basic steps out here? And I just took a few Bible verses, and I call it God's instructions. And one of them has to do with, well, how do we begin this whole thing? I've got all these issues. I got health issues. I'm in pain. I struggle with life. I have relationship problems, whatever. Well, number one is, what's the number one thing that if somebody asked me, what's the number one thing that you think Jesus wanted us to get out of this book? And that is, it says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And on these two commandments hang all the laws and all the prophets. I love that verse. That's out of Matthew. And what that tells me is that everything in here is important. But if you want to really narrow it down, if you begin practicing love, you're bringing God into your life. That's the way you start. So when you start reading this book, begin as to the best of your ability, practicing love. Jesus said all the laws, all the prophecies of the Bible have their origin in those two commands. And if we do our best to fulfill them, we will be right on track doing what God wants. That's the start. And then you say, well, yeah, but I'm having all these other issues. I still have a lot of difficulties. All my problems, they're still there. Now what? Well, if you don't know what to do, here's number two that I got there. It says in the Bible, if any of you, and this is from James, if any of you lacks wisdom, we're all looking for a better way to do something, to fix something. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and he will be given, and well, wisdom will be given to you. And then finally, you know, out of Proverbs, it says, after you ask for this wisdom, because I've had people say, man, I've been praying and praying, I don't have an answer. Well, out of Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So we ask God for wisdom, for answers, and then we have to trust him. And the thing about God is that here's a big drawback. God has made us as creatures of choice. We've been put into this world able to free will. We can choose. And the biggest stumbling block that I have found in the Christian walk is try to understand, and when we get derailed by serious issues that come up in our life, we lose someone we love. Someone we love is suffering. There's this tragedy, that tragedy. And you go and you say, God, I've been trying to be faithful. I'm trying to love people. I'm trying to do good. I'm reading my Bible. And yet these tragedies keep happening. And so some people, because of that, will walk away from God. They'll say, you know what, I don't want any part of this anymore. I mean, what good is it if I'm going to be a Christian and there's no insurance policy? I'm still suffering. I'm still going through all these issues. I'm going through all this pain. I don't understand it. I don't get it. And if you can grasp this one concept that, because you go to church Sunday after Sunday and the preacher says, God loves you. God loves you. He wants to take care of you. He's always got your best interest in mind. And yet you're facing all this stuff and you go, well, if God loves me, how can this possibly be God's will that I'm with dealing with all this? And number one, I don't believe it is God's will. But here's the main answer to all problems on earth. And you go, well, I've been praying to God and my grandmother still died of cancer or this or my child or this and all these issues. How can there be a loving God? And here's my answer to that. It's because man, the only way love works, and go back to my first thing. Jesus said the number one thing you can do is love God and love your neighbor. The only way love works is if you choose it. It has to be a choice. So you can choose not to love. You can choose not to love God. Because if we were created so everything were perfect and we had to love, it's not love. It would be like if you find that beautiful, whoever it is, your Prince Charming or the princess, and they were programmed to love you, that's not love. True love, the ultimate love, always has to come out of choice. It has to be a choice. And people, or all of us, are able to choose, I'm going to love you, I'm not going to love you. I'm going to be kind to you, I'm not going to be kind to you. And the same choice exists with God, and therefore, we're in this broken world where bad stuff happens. We have to choose, are we going to love God anyway, and worship God anyway, and be part of His kingdom, or are we going to say the heck with it, and just live our lives as a piece of meat and a physical body and die? That's our choice. In the First John, it says, God is love. The more love you put into your life, the more God you're bringing into your life. It does not stop all the problems or the issues. I can guarantee you that. But the great thing about this book is the more you understand it, the more you get involved in it, the more the Holy Spirit begins interpreting it to you, the greater your faith in believing in the person who allowed humans to write this book is given to them through revelation. We are put here to express God's love to everyone we can possibly express God's love to. But it's a choice. It's an absolute choice. And I want to encourage you on your journey, for those of you that are going to take this challenge and begin reading this book daily. You know, you don't have to read a whole chapter, but take segments of it and read it daily. I can promise you that what you're doing is you are planting spiritual seeds in your life, and they will bloom and they will blossom. And it will begin to change your life. And really, church is about that. It's about changing our life. Otherwise, there's really no point in coming. It's really not about the music. It's not about my sermon. It's not about even communion. We're called to come together and practice communion. But it is about making life choices in a different way, in a spiritual way, so that you are transformed from the person you are into becoming more and more like Jesus. And we all have a long way to go. I know I do. But if we have to become conscious of it to make those changes happen. I don't know what this year is going to bring yet. I have no clue. I don't know what the weather is going to be this afternoon. I don't know, but I don't worry about those things. But the main thing that I want to wake up every day is to ask God, God, who do you want me to love today and how do you want me to love them? And if I walk that way every day, and it takes a conscious effort, life begins to change. It gets better. God will begin using you when you sign on to His program. And the program is, God, I'm willing for you to strengthen my spirit from within and use me as a tool as you see fit. That's when our lives change. So whether you're a teacher, owner of a landscape company, a doctor, a lawyer, it doesn't matter. Or if you're retired, if you sign on with God and with Jesus and say, I'm going to study with you, I want you to come into my spirit and begin changing me, then life is going to change and it will get better. And I've said this many times from here, and the main reason is God will give you peace. And man, living without peace is miserable. So if you get God's peace, I would say that is a huge reward in this life. But of course, the other thing is this book, unlike any other textbooks that you can read and spend time with, this book, the knowledge you get out of here gets carried into eternity. Everything else we learn here, whether we become a dentist, a doctor, an attorney, a teacher, whatever it is, a plumber, when we die, that's gone. Love and everything about love and knowing Jesus gets carried on. This is eternal learning. All other learning is temporary learning here. It's not to discourage people and young people from going to school and doing everything you can to become as good as you can, as big and wonderful as you can. We are all given gifts, like Matt and Beth is a dancer. We're given gifts. You can worship with dancing. I'd love to have her dance troupe come in here and do interpretive dancing sometime. This church, this little gathering here, we all have amazing talents and abilities. And God needs diversity. He needs diversity. But He can work within retired pharmacists like Bill. He can work within a trucking company like Joe. He can work within people like Corey who go out and hunt down bad guys. God needs all these different things, but he wants to lift us up to a higher level of spiritual understanding so when we go into our occupations, we can begin changing the world for Jesus. The bottom line is for you to become more and more and more like Jesus. That's the path. That we go into the world and we're loving, we're accepting, and we follow whatever it is he's got for us. Amen. Jackie, let's bring everybody forth to come to the table of grace. Matt, you're going to go up and share your talent. And we will enter this new year as a family of people who believe and want to become more like Jesus Christ.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that we're able to begin this new year by remembering that you sent Jesus to us to walk with